Scott Doss, I'm the Director of the Nevada Department of Conservation and Natural Resources and the Chair of the Governor's Drought Forum. I'd like to call this meeting to order, and before I get started, I have been reminded that the acoustics in this room are challenging, especially when people's backs are to people. So just a reminder for all of us here and even the public commenters to speak up and try to make sure that you're heard throughout the room. With that, Andrea, if you take the roll.
Leo Charlestock?
Here.
Jim Barbie?
Here.
Dr. Doug Boyle?
Here.
John Ensminger?
Here.
Dr. Justin Huntington?
Here.
Jason King?
Here.
Dr. Mark Walker?
Here.
Caleb Cage?
Here.
Micheline Fairbank?
Here.
All right. So I see Jane's in Las Vegas. I don't know if Jane's going to make public comment or not.
No, I wasn't planning to. Thank you.
All right, Jane. You keep up the good work, though. Is there anybody interested in making public comment here in Carson City? All right. So why don't we just go down the list, take a look at the agenda. What?
Public comment on the phone.
Ah. Is there public comment on the phones? Should we have people identify? I guess not. All right. So we'll go to agenda item 3, which is to actually approve the agenda.
For approval.
Got a motion from Mr. Ensminger. Second from Mr. Barbie. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Okay, let's take a look at agenda item 4, review and consideration of minutes from the October 26th meeting.
Move for approval.
Motion by Mr. Ensminger, second by Mr. King. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstain? Motion carries. All right, so Doug, I think we will get, we'll go to agenda item 5, which is update on the climate forecast. Turn it over to you.
Great, thank you. Yeah, I just gave a nice climate forecast update here in Carson City a couple nights ago, and good turnout. So we have seen some precipitation over the last, we had a wet summer up here in the north, and had a decent beginning of the water year, so from October 1st to present. And in general, I think the main message is that in the lower valley areas, we seem to be seeing above normal precipitation for the water year so far. And in the mountains, it's generally right around normal in terms of precipitation. In terms of snowpack, same thing, right around normal. I gave a couple good examples the other day. If you look at the Reno Airport, the amount of precipitation we've seen from the beginning of the water year is approximately just over 3 inches of liquid water, mostly in the form of rain. And that puts us at about somewhere between 250% of normal. And we're seeing this across large areas of northern Nevada that are lower elevation, non-mountainous areas. And it shows up on these percent of average maps for precipitation. And we've been having a lot of discussions with the drought monitor authors about whether or not the severity of drought should change on the drought monitor map because of this. And we're having a tough time not reducing the severity of drought indicated on the map because of these large areas of 200 to 400% of normal in terms of precip for the water year. And our argument with them for not changing the maps too much at this point is that in the mountains, again, we're seeing about the same amount of precipitation. So, for example, at Mount Rose ski area and Squaw Valley at their Gold Coast chairs, we're seeing just about 3 to 5 inches of precipitation there as well, which for those two spots is right at normal and about 10% of what we need for the start of water year, whereas Reno precipitation amount of 3 inches is just under half of what we need for the water year. So we get our water supply predominantly from the mountains, and when you take that information into consideration, you realize that we're right where we want to be, but it's still early in the season, and it's really too early to be, in my opinion, to be saying that we're out of the drought, particularly when you look at the reservoirs, the surface water reservoirs. You think about the things we've heard about, the groundwater systems having been taxed or hit pretty hard, I should say, over the last few years of the drought. So with that in mind, I'll just say a few more things about what we expect in the near future this winter. There's still quite a bit of uncertainty as to whether or not we're going to get a wetter than average year. The forecasts are generally for the probability of seeing greater precipitation than normal through most of the state. I'd say just north of Reno all the way down to the most southern portion of Nevada, the forecast is for wet than normal, also for warmer than normal. And these forecasts are predominantly based on the El Nino conditions that we're seeing in the Pacific right now. There was some really great discussion of El Nino at this meeting the other night, and I think the take-home message is El Nino is conditions are continuing to increase in strength. The thought is that this could be at least the third strongest El Nino we've seen historically, and it certainly could still strengthen up and become second or first. The warm water off the Pacific, off the West Coast in the Pacific, these blobs, they still exist, but they're further south now. They're not up in the Gulf of Alaska and off of Washington like they were earlier in the year. People are still really unsure about how those are going to impact the weather systems that we see associated with these El Nino conditions. The last thing that I think is pretty interesting was the storms we've seen so far this year, and the one that we're expecting to get this week, don't seem to be El Nino related at all, at least not directly. They're coming from the north. It's not what we would typically expect to see the El Nino conditions influence storm events. So, but again, I just want to add, because I think it ties right into our discussions later today, we are definitely having some interesting discussions and disagreement with drought monitor authors right now on what should be done to, you know, how do we, in now and into the future, how do we modify these drought conditions on the map? So that's all I have.
Great. Are there any questions for Doug?
Just to be clear, Mark, the drought monitor people kind of want to react to the latest meteorological information. Is that the way it plays out?
It appears to me that their logic is completely based on the precipitation amounts that you see on these maps, a percent of average for the water year, and it's hard to argue with them when you see large areas that are color coded to represent between 200 and 400% of normal. These large areas include mountainous areas, and I don't know who actually makes the maps, but they don't seem to be reflective of the point measurements in the mountains. And when we have these discussions with them, we say the areas that are served by surface water diversions, even though they're not growing anything right now, those conditions haven't improved, and they acknowledge that they understand that. But they say we have to change these maps because of this precipitation percentage average.
Is that partly because of the link with federal disaster relief programs and things like that? Or,
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Anything else? Okay. So now I think we move to the meat of the meeting. I want to again reintroduce Lewis Michelson. We'd be proud to add him to the roll call, I guess. But obviously, Lewis has been instrumental in helping us get as far as I believe we've gotten to date. Was helpful, very helpful during the summit, the last meeting. And before I turn it over to Lewis to try to work through the report, just a couple of points. That is the goal for today. The goal for today is to take this draft report and turn it into what this group would consider to be its final report. So there's text, there's history, and then, of course, there's a series of recommendations in various categories. And, you know, so Lewis has a plan for how he is going to kind of work, find that level of consensus. The only thing I guess I close on is, as you all probably recall, when we met last time, I think it's probably fair to say that there were some discussions that we had that were fairly focused. And there were other areas that we kind of left a little bit fuzzy, but the direction that the forum gave to me and my staff was to try to take some of that fuzziness and turn it into a set of recommendations. And so so you'll definitely find that there are some areas that the concepts may not have been fully vetted, and that's what we want to talk through today. But again, I wanted to, one, thank my staff, thank Jason King in particular, and have you all understand that that's what we did. We basically took, you know, the audio and the words that were stated, and in some cases the spirit in which it was stated, and tried to group them into categories, and then tried to, in our view, sort of present to the best of our abilities what was said and what would make sense from a path forward. So that's what we did. With that, I'll turn it over to Lewis.
Thank you, Dale. Lewis Johnson, because it is on the heart of the earth. I've worked through this process with a lot of committees, and I find the worst thing you do at this moment is jump into the meat. And I'd like to ask you a different question just to lead things off, which was, when this journey began for you many months ago, I don't know how many of you were prescient enough to know exactly how it's going to turn out. I think, in fact, you could not have known exactly how it's going to turn out, mostly because you're really good listeners. That's what really struck me, is that you guys spent a lot of time, I mean, I'd say probably 80% of your time listening to other people and trying to capture what they were saying, trying to capture the wisdom of what they had to say to you, trying to find the common ground between what they were saying. All those things are really difficult to do. And kind of until it comes together into language at this stage, you know, report instead of recommendations, it was probably difficult to know exactly what it was going to look like. In addition, as we went through all of these recommendations at the last meeting, we did take them in pretty much categorical fashion and deal with each one kind of, not in isolation, but certainly in order. And I remember one of the last things we said as we left the last meeting was, now is the chance to kind of take it all together, put it in a report, take a step back and say, what have we lost? What has been created? Because the sum oftentimes is greater than the part. And I mean, personally, the parts to me have come together rather well, and it's a pretty fulsome report. That's just not my sense of it. But that's not what's important. What's important is your sense of it. And so rather than launching into this paragraph or that recommendation, I just thought a few minutes at the front end of today's meeting would be really helpful for you guys to just react to each other and discuss with each other is this what you hoped you would produce? Is this kind of, is the body of what is sitting here something that you go, yeah, this is something that's good, and it's going to be helpful to the state, and it's going to be helpful to the governor, or yet after we put all the pieces together, it still feels like maybe we're, or just get a sense of that, of the overall collective body of work that you've produced, and whether or not it looks like it's satisfactory, or whether it has, in your mind, still a way to go, and why that would be. So I would just want to open that up to anybody to kind of give a sense of, is this where you hope to be? Is it better than you thought it might be when you first started, or wherever you might be? So, any reactions overall to the overall report and recommendation?
To me, it's a pretty daunting task to start with this, okay, which is what I have, and it's not even complete as a record of the things that we've done, and go to this. And I can see things in the weedy part of it that could be fine-tuned, but overall it seems to me as though this has been well captured in a much more succinct and coherent form than one would get by trying to go through those documents. I believe that it's captured a lot of the major points pretty well and pretty clearly.
Okay.
I guess at the beginning of the process, I didn't know what to expect. But the things that were really, that I thought were really important, at least that was directly related to what I do.
Yeah, just a couple of
them. Okay, are the really important things to me were, what's the future of the drought response committee? How would that evolve? And
that's all I'm talking about.
Okay.
We have one more meeting. Okay.
All right. Whoever's on the phone, if I could ask you to mute your phones, we're hearing your conversation.
Sure. So I guess the purpose and future of the Drought Response Committee was something that I really wanted this group to acknowledge that there was an issue there, that, you know, how are we going to move forward? This idea of using the drought monitor and acknowledging that that is playing a role in policy, how are we going to deal with that, and the data and impact issues that we heard about through the drought summit and some of the testimony. I didn't know how all that would come out, and I guess one thing I did want to see was specific solutions defined, and I'm much more comfortable with the working group. I really like that. I think giving a charge to a working group to deal with some of these things was a great idea, and I really like the idea of expanding the drought response committee. And one last thing was, it's always been kind of a mystery to me about whether or not the governor can or should declare a drought, and that was presented kind of that, not directly that way, but we're going to work on that, and I think that's really important. So in general, I'm really happy with.
So in terms of addressing the things that you hoped would be addressed, do you feel like they're addressed?
I feel like we have.
Adjusted for going forward.
Exactly. That's what I want.
And I think that was yours and perhaps some other people's influence at the last meeting, was to say, let's don't just etch in concrete what the solution is. Let's create a process, a thoughtful, deliberate process and structure for getting to good answers to those questions.
Right. And I think if the governor decides these recommendations are worthy and actually charges some groups with doing this work, I think it will get done.
I think you bring up one of the things that was also kind of on our mind trying to develop recommendations at the last meeting, which was that they be actionable.
Exactly.
And not just something that sits on the shelf. So from, again, from your viewpoint, you see actionable things in
here. I do.
Good. All right. This is going to create other responses to, you know, whether this is what you thought you'd see, or like you said, I had no idea what, but it turned out for good, whatever.
Lewis, I would probably just echo what Doug said. I wasn't sure what this final report was going to look like, but it is it's more than what I expected. The things that I was concerned about and interested in are addressed in here, so selfishly that makes me feel good about it. And I've learned so much. I mean, and I work in the water business, and I've learned so much throughout this process, throughout attending the governor's WGA meetings on the drought. And I think obviously there is this increased awareness and moving this forward. I think we can keep that awareness out there.
So I think the really helpful is to say I concur to hear from everybody. Justin, what do you think?
I agree with everything that's been said. I mean, as Doug pointed out, I think having a committee as we move forward is really useful and provides some more interactions on these issues of declaring drought and you know, if the USDA declares a drought, how does that affect the state? And can the governor declare his own drought and have it be something different? You know, and I think that that's a topic that it definitely needs to be talked about perhaps in more detail. But at least we have, like you said, a framework to move forward to talk about this thing through this drought committee.
Jim, agriculture of the day?
No, I concur and add on to that giving us, you know, as you start, this is a high enough elevation that I think accomplishes where we want to go, but then to be able to drill down even deeper into some of those specific topics that we heard, like being able to ensure that those maps that are utilized have all the information that's necessary and that they're being utilized by appropriate groups in the appropriate way, and how, for us, that impacts agriculture.
So I actually was going to start concurring with what Dr. Walker said early on. I'm the newest person to the process, and my kind of baptism into it was the summit in, whenever it was, August, I guess. And that was excellent and a great way to kind of get caught up. I'm pretty blown away at the level of detail that staff has been able to really bring all of that diverse and various bits of information together into something that's coherent and comprehensive, really, that is based off of different subject matter experts and really to address the needs of the state and the needs that were directed by the governor in his executive order. As far as Doug's comment goes, completely concur that there needs to be a next step. I think that my concern that this could be, and I hate to use the phrase, that we might be just, if we're not being definitive enough in the recommendations, then it may not amount to anything. And I think that if we put frankly, we can get into that discussion, but I think if we put specific timelines on the recommendations for the deliverables, that may allow us to, we don't have recommendations from the response committee developed by July of next year, then they're not going to hit the next legislative cycle most likely, and those sorts of things. So just to be cognizant of those sorts of things, I think would allow us to really really produce the fruits that the governor has asked us to produce through his executive order. And that's my only overview, and I think that the committee and, of course, staff have allowed us to be in that position today, and I think that's excellent.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
Not at this point in time, thank you.
And John and Leo, what do you think?
I agree with what's been said. I'll add two things, and I may be picking up a little bit on what Caleb said. I think it does an excellent job of combining flexibility and substance. If anything has really come, you know, to the fore for me as being part of this process, it really is the diversity of water users across the state of Nevada, which means by necessity you don't have any one-size-fits-all solution, but I think the document has flexibility to address the fact that there's a lot of different types of water users within Nevada, but it also has substantive recommendations for, you know, ways to conserve additional water, for changes to Nevada water laws, for ways to get more data and implement best practices. So I think the where we are in the spectrum between, you know, overly general and too specific is just about right. Maybe, as Caleb's saying, there's a couple of tweaks to communicate to nail down a couple of things, but I think we're in about the right spot on that spectrum. And then even more, you know, generally in terms of what our marching orders from the governor were. I mean, we started off this process by saying, you know, Nevada's the driest state in the union. We're used to this. We're good at managing not having a lot of water. We don't need, you know, an executive order, you know, the style that Governor Brown is implementing in California, because we're pretty far ahead of the curve. So I think as a next step in the process, whether we need to go further than this in the future, we'll find that out. But I think in terms of, you know, coming up with the next step of where we've been and where we're going, this document does make the job.
So for me, I'll probably go back to where I started. Obviously, you know, maybe I'll start with just thanks. You know, I feel a level of indebtedness to all of you on this committee, on this forum. I feel a level of indebtedness to my staff and lots of other people's staff who have, you know, helped us get here. I think I remarked to many people in this room when we first got started, and it became clear that there was a lot that we could and should do, then a momentary fit of panic set in, which is like, how are we going to pull it all together? And, you know, admittedly, there's still some work to do, but I felt like we really hit our stride during the summit. I started to get a sense of where we might be going. Lewis, I think your contributions have been invaluable. And like I said, it enabled us to sort of take these pieces. Things just sort of fell together, and I think that happened because there was just such a level of effort on the people around this table and beyond to get it done. You know, one person on my staff who's not here but has spent a lot of time on this is my deputy, Kay Scherer, and so I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, mention her in particular. She was just hugely helpful through this whole thing, and if you know anything about Kay, that's just the way she operates. Sort of the unsung hero. But anyway, from where I sit, it's very rewarding to hear that people feel good about where we are. I'm more excited now to kind of push this through, and would be proud to be part of this group to present a set of recommendations to the governor, which I know he'll be happy to get.
Any other comments before we kind of dive in? I hope you found that useful to kind of just feel where everybody's at, because there's a tendency sometimes the first thing we do is we focus on the one thing we don't like. And you start feeling a little like the report, and it's been happened a million times. And everybody hates the report. No, we like the report. I couldn't tell by everything that's happened in the last 6 hours. So it's just kind of a barometer of where we are generally as we move forward. And it doesn't mean perfect, obviously not. That's why we're here. We just spend time trying to get close to where you think it should be. But anyway, that at least you kind of all know that your various levels of reaction and satisfaction with them at this point. What's new, if you will, since the last one, is at the very end is the body of what you mostly work on. At the last forum, the guts of the recommendations and all that. Since then, what's been captured a lot up front is what Leo referred to as kind of the history and the process and what are the pieces into it. And that's where, you know, what was captured with all the work that you just described that went into creating this. There's also kind of an overarching
a narrative, if you will, about the situation. And so I wanted to start there, since that's the new part, just saying, is there anything about those summaries of the process or the narrative of the situation that either didn't act as you or didn't seem quite true or didn't seem to quite capture what you remember or what you believe took place? Basically the first, what goes to production, and about a drought form itself, a lot to be debated there. The summary that you put together, again, all of that data that Mark is referring to has been captured in a summary form into the next several pages. Then by the time you get to page 7, you've got a summary, again, of the drought form meeting itself, the drought summit. Anything in there that you read through said, that's quite how I remember it, or I don't think it quite captures the spirit or intent of that. Was that all read well to you? Not just what Steve, where I'm holding Steve, but I mean, you can come back to this, but I from what I understood of your history, I read this and it just seemed to try to be a factual but concise account.
I think it was factual and concise. I had no different perceptions from the things that are presented here.
Right. You know, it's always great to have to say yes. Thank you, Mark. I need the last question of the day.
You're yes, sir.
My one last day. Thank you.
This is Caleb Cates for the record. I concur. I think it's great. I think that it absolutely captures the deliberations of this body, and barring the refinements we'll make today, I think it's the 95% solution you'd hope for at the point we're at.
Affirmations or otherwise? I'm going to take it where we're on. So you're on the right track on it. Okay. Then what that allows us to move into is, I believe, the draft form recommendations themselves, which is where I thought we would want to spend most of the time. It probably still is useful to go through these in the same manner we did at the last form, which is by category. I still would expect at the end we might take one more step back and say, okay, taken as a whole, you know, have we gotten everything you'd hope to get to, as we've already heard, you probably have, but under the drop form recommendations as they relate to conservation, as Leo mentioned, in some cases the language that we developed at the last forum was fairly specific and captured, I would say, virtually word for word in the next 2 years. In other cases, there were indications, intent, concepts which had to be formulated in something more prose. So as you read through the recommendations as it relates to water conservation, anything jump out at you as either what you did or didn't expect to see, or didn't quite capture, or since you've had more time to think about it, maybe not necessarily changed your mind, but for you, maybe this has some other consequences I hadn't really considered or connected until I looked at the whole document.
The one thing that I saw, and I'm not sure where we left this, so I don't know if I'm surprised by it or not.
Yeah.
In the very first recommendation for conservation, in the second sentence of saying amendments would add the following additional areas that purveyors must address as part of their plan. I thought we had agreed as a forum to recommend that those the plans would require each of those elements. And I guess I read address as, you know, you could say and you could talk about it, but you wouldn't actually have to have that as part of a conservation plan. So I thought that was soft.
I
thought that was softer than where we left.
You know, John, I'm glad you caught that. There may have been a little fuzziness about that at the meeting itself. I know that the four sub-bullets that are underneath it, I think are technically part of that fuzziness, because I mean, in the case of meters, there's another bullet
deals specifically with that, that does make it more of a you shall type thing. And so it's kind of strange, why would you have thou shalt do neither than to say you're significant on what you mean by address, but you're right, it falls short of requiring that these actually be provisions in, unless you interpret address as, yeah, we looked at it and decided not to do it. Which I guess could be correct. So where does that fit into the flexibility and diversity part?
Yeah, so I think Jason and I might tag team this, because we talk a lot about this, and obviously this is part of what is going to go, these submittals are going to go to the state engineer's office. The difficulty here is that water systems are of all shapes and sizes, and there are some very small water systems out there that are, you know, probably fine and probably have a certain low capacity issue, if you would, not water capacity, but just sort of ability capacity. And so, you know, John's right that, you know, we went back and forth on, you know, so you require, you know, a standard as rigorous as, you know, some of these major urban water systems in some very small, and felt that giving some latitude to the state engineer's office to kind of sort of make that call is what might make some sense, just because we may find that there's a number of very small systems that may not need all of these things for a variety of reasons, and to just make them do it regardless without giving it a little bit of thought was what we were thinking. But again, that's just why we landed where we did. Certainly defer to the group, and Jason, I don't know if you want to add anything.
No, that was it. I think we thought that there, you know, there's some very small purveyors, 25 hookups, and do we require them to have tiered water rates for, you know, this system? And I agree with you too, John. I mean, the statute as written is more aspirational, and we wanted to tighten that up, and we wanted to make some of these as requirements. But I think we also wanted to have, whether or not it turns out to be a waiver provision in whatever we come up with, if should the governor decide to go forward, to allow maybe some of these smaller purveyors to not have to have all this in their water plan. So, Leo and I kind of landed on this language. Maybe this is a better language we can go to.
And I guess I'd probably be more comfortable sort of mirroring what we're saying about the meters down below, where you say unless such installation is done by the state engineer. I'd rather see it required, but have that sort of waiver mechanism available to you, because I do think the rule in Nevada should be you have these things in your resource plan, but again, I don't want to get too one-size-fits-all and have, you know, three people have to have tiered water rates on a little tiny system, but that shouldn't swallow the rule either, which is what I think address could be read as.
Where's the one provision you just referred to? I'm having trouble locating one where it's cut. Has the waiver thing applied to the meters? Where is that?
It's the third one that starts with clarify.
Oh.
The last little section there.
Unless the installation is deemed unnecessary by state engineer. So you're suggesting something that kind of would mirror some of that language, but apply it to these other three bullets.
Okay. Yeah, so you say you move that up in areas that purveyors must require as part of their plan. And you just have them in, unless, you know, such elements are deemed unnecessary by the state engineer.
And what the rest do you think about that? Because most people want to know this conversation.
I like that approach. I think it's necessary, and then having a waiver provision is probably the way to go.
Jim, I heard somebody support going that direction.
Concur.
How would you provide the flexibility?
We're fine with that approach.
Leo, Jason, you guys think that makes sense? Anybody else? So I would expect that we would revise that accordingly. Fair enough?
Yep.
Okay. Good. I agree. It was a little fuzzy, so that was good. We clarified that one. What else in the conversation? Anything else that
Andrea,
not quite what you expect to see? Or have other thoughts concerned about how it could be improved?
terms of the use it or lose it provision.
Four.
Right. I want to know how we can increase the opportunity for water conservation. Like what we can actually do in words. Potential changes and clarifications to the use of the provisions. And just what
might that look like?
Okay. So, Lewis, I'm just hearing. Could you maybe repeat what?
Yeah, basically, you said the fourth bullet under recommendations of our conversation is review potential changes and clarifications. Can you give us an idea of what that looks like, or how that might actually, what you could actually do that would, in fact, change the law and make that happen? Yeah, imagine for it.
As an example, and I'm talking about basins right now that are over-appropriated. In those types of basins, if people weren't afraid of losing the water for not using it, they wouldn't put as much water through their totalizing meter. So can we come up with a mechanism that allows in these over-appropriated basins, that allows them to perhaps not lose their water rights and become more efficient? And we've talked about conservation credits as a term. I know you've heard that just throughout other Western states. A banking process where maybe you can bank some of that conserved water that might be available. I mean, the devil's in the details, but it really is that simple. That we hear from Diamond Valley farmers all the time, if I didn't have to put as much water through the meter, I wouldn't do it. And that's where we want to get to.
Yeah.
But they're afraid of losing their water, right?
Yeah. That's perfect. I think if we could have a such as with some examples, because in the water law section, we refer to C also water conservation. We refer back to that bullet.
Here's why I would note caution in doing that, in getting too much in terms of examples, because that's something that you'll have to take through the legislative process, and it's going to be a complicated conversation, I think, historically. And so I think that everybody understands what the problem is, and based on the notes and around this group and the summit and so on and so forth. So if we put too many, I would hate to see us put too many small things there that stir people up to begin with before we even get to the legislative session to have the conversation, and leave it open and vague enough where you have a creative conversation, because it will have to happen at the legislative building through that process.
Is that I mean, I just think if we get to, then... You see what I'm saying?
I do hear what you're saying, and I hear both sides to it. How much more detail do we want to go into this? I guess I'm open to either side. This is a general enough that allows us to kind of work on it.
And I appreciate it.
You know what? Where I think he's coming from is you guys all know what you mean by it, right? The problem is nobody knows what we mean by it. And it's just really broad and open to all kinds of interpretations. So I think your suggestion was just to put it out there again. Let's just think of it such as, such as what? You could choose one of a whole bunch of examples. So I don't know, but right now, he's right. There's a lot of generality between the two, kind of referring back on each other. And if you weren't part of the process, you don't know what it really means.
But I think you're saying, I like what it says here, because I think you're specifically saying to evaluate and look at adjustments in the law and the language, and that's why it's referenced from the law side, to increase opportunities for water conservation. I mean, clearly you're identifying where you want that direction to go without identifying specific examples that may set groups up, depending on what side they would land on that, before we even get to a point of having an open conversation at the legislative process. And I think you're clearly identifying in that statement what the end game, end goal is, and then let's allow for some creative thought in terms of the process and how we get there. That's just my concern. But I'll live with whatever the will of the group. But that's making it almost to some folks an exit before we get there.
Okay.
And I think I'm actually exactly where he is, but I'm going to throw someone out just for conversation purposes to see if it's too much of a lightning rod to include, but maybe give us some additional specificity. We've talked before about one of the mechanisms for doing this being the tolling of the forfeiture provision during a governor's declared drought. So I don't know if that's something people are going to land on each side of and have it really be a lightning rod for, but I think it's a tangible example. It could be worked into the existing language without citing chapter and verse in, you know, 533, 534, to be able to say increased opportunities for water conservation, including but not limited to the tolling and forfeiture provisions during, and then just pick up the drought and non-drought conditions.
What you said, okay, so this one idea, what you said, opportunities and incentives for water conservation. The examples that are giving, it sounds to me, are ones where like, well, there's no incentive to conserve water. And there's actually punishment for conserving in some way. John, did you notice where John asked the question, no, is there something out there you could say that this is a lightning rod? Is there something everyone would say, yeah, that's a good idea? So wouldn't there be a lightning rod?
Well, that's the whole basis of doing this, right? Is so you don't lose your water rights. So I think that makes a lot of sense. It's actually brought up somewhere else in here. I'm looking for this forfeiture language.
I like the word incentive.
That gets to the side of which all of these things, elements down like that are, right? Now there's different incentives. Someone passing the water law, right? That's what you described.
Say that again,
Mark. Passing the type of water law you have here are some disincentives for conservation because they threaten, people feel like it threatens their rights.
Correct.
And so far at the times it's incentives. The changes to the law that I've heard sound like they provide those incentives or remove the disincentives. So I just thought maybe it gave a little more meaning without giving a specific example to say increase. The opportunity is kind of like, yeah, there might be a good thing out there we could do, but we can't do that, as opposed to really dealing with these are interest-based issues. It seems to be getting in the way of people wanting to do it. So I just suggest you get increased opportunities and incentives for water conservation. But John has another suggestion.
No.
Yeah.
In some cases, the silence equals acquiescence, and in other silence equals.
And I try to draw that out when I can, so I know which is which. So what do you think? Have you been convinced, or do you still see an opportunity for clarity in person here?
No, I'm leaning towards the side of just leaving it the way it is because it has. As Jim stated, I mean, the in-game message is in there in terms of water conservation during drought.
Right.
I mean, that's the bottom line. So I'm fine with the way it is. I just, you know, it's a balance. You don't want to have too many details in there and be strapped, but you don't want to be vague either, but it's fine.
Is there any language under the Nevada water law, not in the recommendations themselves, but in the front stuff, that talks about removing disincentives or providing incentives?
Is there anything in the water law that...
No, and actually what we... Yeah, just wondering rather than changing the recommendation itself, whether... A sentence or two in the explanatory portion of these recommendations where it talks about use it or lose it. It never really says what the problem is with use it or lose it. Does it? Maybe I'm missing it. That it doesn't say why it's not a friend of conservation.
It explains it as, you know, it says it goes on from that sentence, and that's in the second paragraph on page 9. It does talk about the use it or lose it doctrine, and then the fact that users have to demonstrate beneficial use of water, which conservation Does conservation come under that category? Is conservation a benefit use? No, it's more like grow crops, make money, and things like that, right? Okay. So.
So it's captured there. That's the first full paragraph of conservation. Okay.
It spoke to me.
Right.
I don't know if this is value added. If we wanted to go with such as, one term that I hear, again, a lot across Western states is conservation credit. But that has a meaning that I'm aware of, but if you put it in this document, then it may have a lot of different meanings to other people reading it.
Yeah.
But that's what you're talking about. If you conserve water, then you get some kind of a credit for that, and that becomes the incentive. But again, that's not a term of art that people may have different.
Yeah. So I've heard a few suggestions. I haven't heard a rallying cry for a specific change or addition.
Well, I've heard some support to add incentives.
For adding incentives?
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So would that help if we added some conservation recommendation, adding opportunities and incentives? All right. I'm seeing a lot of head nodding. Anybody object to adding that?
Yeah. So we're just going to just add the word add incentives?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Leah, just as a question or clarification, are you going to go ahead and do this section by section for making motions to make adopt the changes? Or?
I thought that worked for us well at the last meeting to do that. But I think section by section would be great for so far, if I were going to... After all the discussion is over, the one change that the group supported would be adding an incentive to the fourth bullet and the recommendation on page 9. And if there are no others,
we also did the changes on the water, on the first one.
And then the waiver will fall under the all the other ones.
So, what do you suggest?
I think going section by section would provide clarity.
Okay. All right. So, we missed one. So, Leo, you want to take care of the motion?
So you want to do it?
What I'm suggesting is just by section. For example, right now we're working in section 1. And
so by the time we get done with water conservation, we will have
then
one
make
water
one
conservation motion. Fine.
So there's other discussion on water conservation topics, category.
I just want to bring up one point, and that is in the third bullet on the last page, that operation.
Uh-huh.
There is some language about temporary suspension of work, which is getting back to John's point with saying something about suspension of forfeiture.
Okay. So
this is
chapter
10.
Yeah, I think so.
I think
it's
isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
I knew I read that somewhere.
Good memory. All right. Any other discussion on underwater conservation topic?
Yeah. Right. One more.
Yeah.
Back to meters again. This may be putting too fine a point on things, but meters without rates, like they're without water rates of some sort, without charges, it seems like meters are not really an effective tool all by themselves. Without some fiscal or some financial element, like you have to charge for the water if you're or something. I mean, I can't imagine somebody with a domestic well who doesn't really have to pay a water bill will simply change their water consumption habits and water use habits based on the fact that they have a meter on their well. So,
like, I would assume we're talking more in the rural ag.
Rural agriculture.
The water they're using is aligning with their own right.
But this is water purveyors, which I think includes a broad category. I mean, it's a lot of people, right? Irrigation districts, perhaps, but also small rural water supply, for example. Anybody with a more than 15 service or 15 or more service connections.
I've worked in some areas where they introduced metering, and the fact of metering itself has lowered consumption, interestingly enough.
Just by itself? Just
by itself.
Okay.
And there was
find a lawyer before they change anything in the rates in the meantime. So it's interesting, people look at the edge, which you don't measure. It turns out even on an individual basis. But having said that,
what was going to be your point? What were you going to make?
Well, my point was just this, is that it seems like the meters aren't really a solution, or they're not an element of water conservation by themselves.
Okay.
There's got to be more to it than that. And what you're saying, in part, is that some, and this could bleed over into the education and information section, is that there needs to be some feedback loop in that, whether it's in a water bill or simply in information that comes back to the person who has a water meter on their you know, service connection, telling them how much water they use per month or something like that.
Are you on the third bullet or the first bullet?
I'm on the first bullet, meters on all things.
Yeah, but well, I guess that's the first sub-bullet, but the third sub-bullet is tiered rate structures.
They're connected, though, right? Are they connected? They're connected.
Yeah, but that's why you got all four
requirements. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, the strange thing is that language has. So I think you need my hoping for, which is meters and rate itself, the meters determine the ground.
Okay. I just want to be sure, because I didn't see all four in the package, but they're a package, right?
Okay. It kind of became one about 20 minutes ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I was here. I just
you just say yes when you
okay.
Any other discussion or conversation? Okay.
So we
need a motion that wraps up the changes I believe you adopted.
So here's what I would be looking for a motion on. Here's what my notes say. There'll be two changes to the draft recommendations. One is in bullet one, where we will, as opposed to must address, that'll change to must require, but add text that also says, unless this requirement is deemed unnecessary by the state engineer. That is the first change. The second change is in the fourth bullet, second line, to add the word and incentives following opportunities. That's what I have, and if that's what people's recollection is, I'd accept the motion.
I move for those amendments.
So I have a motion from Mr. King. Is there a second?
I second.
Second by Mr. Walker, Dr. Walker. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion carries. Back to you, Lewis.
All right. And here again, same kind of questions. We took it one by one, categories, we took some of these bullets one by one. Language, some of it was clear. In this case, most of it was pretty much what the language that was agreed to. But, again, maybe you had some other thoughts. Leo, Jason, do you remember making any improvements to this that you want to? The justification
I agree with these.
Yeah, and I thought that these were pretty. My recollection is that these were pretty spelled out when we talked last time.
Right as well. So, do the rest of you agree that what we've done is what you expected to see, and no second thought since then, or not, or in the introduction to it, anything that wasn't captured the way you thought it was?
Yeah.
The law. So, did we get it right first
time? I think it accurately summarizes what we agreed to.
Any other comments, questions on this subject? Yeah, I don't know what we do when we start anything. What do we do?
I think. There you go. I got a motion. Got a motion from Caleb Cage to move to approve as is. Second by Mr. Barbie. I think that's what we do. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion carries.
Monitoring research data. Which one, as I recall, was fuzzy as it was.
So Lewis, that. John raises an interesting question. So earlier you, and I like the way you did it, but you asked, you know, for pages 1 through, you know, the kind of history.
Yeah.
But we never actually took a motion for anything from pages 1 to the middle of page 8. So
let's do it. Move to approve.
Okay. Move to approve from Mr. Barbie to accept pages 1 through middle of page 8 as the history, second by Mr. Ensminger. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Motion carries. Okay, so now I think we're caught up.
Page
1.
All right. So monitoring research data. I have to tell you, as someone from outside, that section during the summit just amazed me. I mean, there was so much discussion, concerns, suggestions about something which most people normally consider a dry subject, a technical subject, and yet it attracted a huge amount of, I think, really constructive and innovative discussion. So as a result, it ended up being a fairly substantive portion of the recommendation. So it's been captured again, kind of all of the discussion that around that, and it has landed on 5 bullets of recommendations that, while they may appear rather short, three many of the three sub-bullets, actually covers quite a bit of territory. So,
And the only thing I would say is this really is, you know, for Justin and Doug and Mark, I mean, this was a little bit beyond the Jason and my's capacity. So, you know, we may not have got this part right, but so definitely looking for your help here. But as you said, Lewis, we certainly took what we thought we heard and turned it into this, but as you know, this is beyond our capacity in some cases. So no pride of ownership here, okay. Authorship, you know, at all.
Well, I know Doug started out saying that he thought the working group was the right way to proceed, but you know, just move to that. Sorry, put out in the first time.
I'd just like to make sure I understand. I mean, to me, the most important part of this is the working group concept, and I just wanted to make sure that I understand what a working group is. It's not a committee like this where we're following Robert's Rules of Order.
No.
This would be much more
organic.
Organic and how would we? So this would be charged perhaps by the governor. How would we go about making sure we get the right people?
Well, I think what we would do is exactly this. We would basically sit down with the three of you to start with and say who needs to be here.
Okay.
And then probably it would be the governor probably sending based on that input, sending letters out to these kinds of folks saying, hey, would you be willing to be part of this working group? And then do what you need to do.
I mean, that sounds appropriate.
Can I just one question about that? Well, I think that's a good question, is how to get the right group of people at the table. And the wording right now has a working group of climate professionals, which I think does limit the range of expertise on a working group. Now, I mean, you can define your way out of that, I think, by assuming that the climate professionals are going to represent a certain slice of the group of the population in Nevada that has some interest in climate, but I wondered if it's
if you have better words, though, please.
Well, working group seems like a good pair of words to me,
a working group of climate professionals and other relevant disciplines.
Sure, that would work. I was going to be less specific, but yeah. Just working group. But other relevant professionals work too.
That then leads us to somebody else to figure out who you wanted to be on.
Oh, so we end up with a...
Who knows what we end up with?
A football stadium of committee. Or committee time. Okay, I think other relevant professionals is a good addition.
Yeah.
But I just put other relevant disciplines.
Discipline.
Oh, yeah, once you meant to have a... Maybe we would have considered a hydrogeologist or climate professor.
Sure.
Boy, it sure doesn't have one.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make you consent?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So, as written, it was a little too restrictive, so add that language. Okay. I think that helps. This is one in particular one where I think Caleb's earlier comment about timing, and which we haven't really looked at that closely in the first two. Is there a sense that someone would like to see a deadline or a date attached to this so that it gets created by a certain time or sooner rather than later? Is that something we want to introduce into these recommendations or not?
You know, I was thinking about this, and I can go either way. I mean, I want to be a little bit, I'm wondering if it may make sense to talk about timing in a general sense, because again, these are recommendations that we're giving to the governor. I mean, at some point, you know, it's his choice or pace on what to proceed. I mean, so I hear the discussion, and I think it's valid at the same point. I mean, I want to be respectful of what our job is and what, you know, what our job isn't. So I'm wondering if, you know, something up front to simply say, you know, that if we're wanting to pursue legislative changes, for example, you know, these things need to be in place by X.
I anticipated this moment yesterday as I was thinking about this meeting coming up, and interesting enough, I had thought the same thing, that we could kind of get wrapped around the axle on trying to come up with dates for everything in this report, and then what would it really mean, who has the ability to tie by anyway, that we could maybe leave something along more general lines addressing that some of these are time sensitive, some of these to have an urgency or certainly a critical path, that if they don't get done in time for legislation, they're not high, and that you could put some general language in the report about that that recognizes that. So, interesting. What are the rest of you think about dealing with the timing or scheduling issue?
I err on the side of where Leo is at least on this one in terms of timing. I mean, you're making a recommendation to governors to form this group. The governor wants to do that. He gets to sign when and who and all that stuff. You know, and then when you get back, I don't want to skip around too much, but, you know, Caleb isn't here to add in, but he was talking about the last section and the drought committee having specific times. But even there, it's, you know, recommending to expand the committee and recommending you direct the committee to do X, Y, and Z. If the governor wants to follow those directives, he can say when those products are due by. Well, I was
thinking. The schedule is really up to.
Well, it might put a toe into the line of presumptuous to say we're recommending you form this committee, we're recommending you direct it to do this, and assuming you just automatically follow our directions, we're also recommending you make it due by July 1 or something. I think that's slightly too far.
And again, I tend to kind of slightly move over my head before I get here, kind of where it's going to go, what might happen. And I can see spending a lot of time coming up with dates that then don't really have much force. That was what kind of popped into my head.
I think the executive order we got from the governor for this, in this forum, in the summit, was very clear what the deadlines, the important deadlines were, and he allowed us the flexibility of figuring out how to get to that point. And I think if he decides this is an important recommendation, my guess is he's gonna put deadlines in where they're appropriate. That's my view. But there's a history of that already with me.
So in that regard, I have an opposing point of view. How and when would we develop this additional language to add to this to call it the final report that would say something about timing or about scheduling? Do we want to try and do it now? Do we want to have somebody take it?
Probably just agreed not.
Yeah. Well, I was going back to what Leo said, which was not specific language. You're saying we don't even need the general language.
I missed the general one.
So I just said that could be a way to deal with it, but I didn't say anything. It's no mystery that if, you know, and again, he'll know this. I mean, the time frame, it's certainly going to be a mystery to no one that what the time frames are if we want to have statutory changes. So I don't think
we're not even needed. Okay, so there really isn't any for the clerk adding anything as it relates to that.
Well, at least not this far. I mean, I'm not going to prejudge what we get to later.
Okay. All right. So, other than the climate professionals and other relevant disciplines, other things that you see in these recommendations that you think might need to be modified?
The first bullet, third sub-bullet, just some wording changes.
Yeah, good.
So I would recommend to include after the words explore implementation of new technologies, I would say explore implementation of new technologies to improve drought monitoring, forecasting, and drought early warning systems. It's worded early drought warning systems, and the wording is drought early warning systems that they use, and then scratch the and seasonal forecasting because we talked about forecasting before. So,
did you point to where this is again?
I got it.
First bullet. So work with other organizations such as NIDAS and or explore implementation of new technologies to improve drought monitoring,
comma,
drought early warning systems, comma, and forecasting.
Can I follow that?
Any sense? It's just some rewording.
Yeah, fine.
And then the second bullet, because this idea of vegetation impact versus hydrologic impact and the differences of drought, basically, was such a big topic of discussion, I think we need to at least call that out.
Okay, good.
Behind multiple indicators. So we say, and encourage expansion of the U.S. Drought Monitor to include multiple indicators, and I would, in parentheses, say vegetation versus hydrologic drought, or vegetation and hydrologic drought at that point.
Yeah, it was discussed here right a lot throughout.
Yeah, we need to at least have that.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. Anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Okay. Anybody else have anything else that they could suggest to make these recommendations clear? That's your more spirit of what was discussed. Okay. All right. Then, any other thoughts or comments on these recommendations? Do you want to summarize for me?
Yeah. So, there's three changes. In the first bullet, first line, after the words climate professionals, add and other relevant disciplines. First change. The second change is in the first bullet, third sub-bullet, which will, following the word improve, we will have drought monitoring, comma, drought early warning systems, and forecasting. And then the third change is in the second bullet, third line. We will add a parenthesis after indicators, open parenthesis, vegetative and hydrologic drought, close parenthesis.
Any discussion?
So I would accept the motion on that to those three changes.
I move to accept all three teams.
Motion from Dr. Walker. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second from Dr. Huntington. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Motion carries.
Does it need a break or do we keep going? Let's keep going. All right. So, financial and technical assistance, not as big a section, although it still has a recommendation. Same question. You came here that you saw it, you thought couldn't quite capture what was intended and or additional thoughts you've had since then that would cause you to want to see some modification. Having a specificity for you all to accomplish what needs to be done?
Like I said, obviously I'm comfortable with it. Oh, Jim's here.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. We're up to, I think, just only because you had commented last time, we're up to number four, financial and technical assistance. I just want to make sure you're okay with that.
We're working from the point of encouragement, right? Very specifically.
We're page four, page 12, item four.
On financial and technical assistance.
Direct appropriation to the agency to identify. I don't see a problem.
Okay. I just
want to make sure I hadn't missed anything. I read it once and I didn't see. No, I'm good with the section.
Is this an as-is section?
A quick question.
Yeah.
Do financial incentives have to be extended beyond state agencies to water users, in particular to do things like through federal programs to put in water conservation measures for agriculture or you know, adopt new technologies. Do we have to go beyond the financial and technical assistance from state needs or from state agency needs to people who are actually users? I know.
Which bullet are you looking at?
I'm just talking about the whole thing.
Oh.
Because all the recommendations have to do with primarily with and I know 1, 3, and 4 primarily have to do with the financial strength of the state agencies to carry out these, you know, to be effective with this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side of the coin, there are people like the, you know, just as an example, the people who talked about the high efficiency laundry in Las Vegas mentioned over and over again that they help to make that to adopt that technology. And I'm just using that as an example. I'm not advocating for it. But I'm sure there are other ones like it. Do we have to consider other kinds of incentives that go beyond state agency budgets?
So, what are the incentives that are provided for the one you just mentioned?
There's none. I think what he's saying is that they don't exist. Whether it's
kind of do for some federal programs aimed at agriculture, for example, right?
Okay.
So there's some subsidies available, but that doesn't really fall under what the governor's purview doesn't include how to direct the Farm Services Agency or something like that. But if we talk about other programs like that, like the tunnel washing machines, right? How do they, you know, they mentioned several times that it would be great if they had some money to put those in place. I'm just repeating what the record shows.
So
should there be a bullet that discusses the idea of some kind of revolving loan fund or something like that, that some source of funding to help people adopt water conservation technologies or water conservation practices? Like, who's going to pay for all those meters, for example? Things like that.
Yeah. So we're saying that there's nothing really in here that directly addresses financial systems
at
the user end.
Right, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Is that captured at all in the first bullet?
I was reading that, too.
Okay.
I think it probably does for us, but I think the Lewis would spend a lot of time there for somebody else picking up. Or even maybe you could add something, and maybe it's as simple as develop budget proposals to improve Nevada's drought response and resiliency, and fund, you know, water-efficient technologies, comma, including policies and rebate programs. So you're hitting it a little more squarely.
Okay.
But it includes that. But I don't see any other way. I mean, recommendations to the governor. I don't see how else the state's going to give anybody money for something like that other than through an agency budget.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, okay. Mark, trying to pick up on what you just said, John, if it said, including possible incentive and rebate programs to encourage the adoption of water-efficient technologies, would that provide more?
I was trying to put it on the front end of that because I think the incentive and rebate programs could apply to the drought response and resiliency as well. I was trying to add on the efficiency concept in addition to drought response and resiliency, or maybe to make it more specific.
So what did you say? You said you were going to add it. You said Nevada's drought response and resiliency.
And funding for water-efficient technologies.
And funding for water.
And then could possibly be a rebate program. That's what you're saying. I see.
Okay. Or maybe instead of funding, because it says rebate programs, you know, including incentives instead of funding.
And incentives
to adopt water-efficient technologies?
To adopt water.
In which case, you really wouldn't need the last part.
Efficient.
Would you?
Again, I'm still trying to.
Well, I wonder, you know, John.
I do have two incentives right now.
John, I think, you know, maybe your initial point was the right one, which is that, sorry there.
Okay, I can be talking
with you. Instead of trying to put another shade of the same color in there, maybe that's sufficient like it is. Just, okay.
So after discussing our team, you think it works okay as is?
I'm happy with it now.
It's fine to have a discussion around saying it's okay. So
I'm okay with it though.
All right.
Okay.
Any other
questions? If everybody's done, I'd be happy to, on this one, to take a motion to accept as written.
I move to accept the recommendations on the financial and technical assistance as drafted.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Doug Boyle. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes.
Her hand is still writing, but she is directing you. I'm writing transcripts, yeah. Okay, coming into supply augmentation and long-range planning. What do you want to say about this one, now? In approaches to development recommendations.
Yeah, so I would say that it's probably fair to say that, well, for this one and for the last one, this is probably the area where there was less, there was probably less detail at our last meeting. And so, but I do feel that there was plenty of stuff set on the record that made it relatively straightforward to put these together, but I would definitely characterize this as one where we enhance what the record shows.
Yeah, I'm looking at the fourth one in particular. There were so many suggestions about other ways to deal with things, like choosing desal and bouncing evaporative controls. Like that was from a list of things And
So my sense there, again, Jason, help me out, but my sense there was different levels, perhaps, of interest here, depending, you know, there's work that's being done, and so, you know, it didn't seem like there was anything specific to be done. I think there was a general sense that, you know, across the spectrum, all of these may have some value, perhaps some have more value in the near term than others, but they all at least warrant to continue to follow up on. And in some cases, you know, they're more, in case SNWA, they do a little bit more on some of these than just follow up on. But that's about as far as we wanted to go here. We didn't want to take a position of advocacy.
Right. Okay. That was kind of the clarification I'm hoping we could get to about kind of how these recommendations land, where they didn't, or either just specify or require versus suggest. So with that in mind, thoughts the rest of the forum has on what's there, anything you change, something that still seems fuzzy to you, or lacking in sufficient detail? It's more like you've captured the goal, you haven't tried to tell how to get it done. That it's all going to need more exploration. But the objective is hopefully you're clear.
So in the second bullet, the first word, require.
a bunch of those.
What's the ultimate goal here? I mean, is it to require that the local government, there's local government agencies actually have these long-term supply and demand projections in their plan?
You know, this was born out of a number of public comments that we got, you know, where there seemed to be at least a concern about, you know, resource planning versus, you know, community development planning. I remember several people in the audience making that point. And so this is trying to bring that nexus together, that, you know, when you're looking at housing development, you'd be looking at the resources that you, the resource portfolio that goes with it.
Yeah.
So,
but I, you know.
So just in the question I'm trying to say is the requirement here to work with people, or is the requirement here to develop a plan?
Right.
Right now, there's a requirement to work with them, but didn't necessarily require them to develop a plan.
Well, you know, we went back and forth even on the word require, because, you know, I don't know that, you know, that's about as strong, maybe that's too strong. I mean, you know, this is, again, I'd maybe, you know.
Encourage?
Yeah, I mean, I can't make. Well, the governor can't make local governments do anything. So maybe require, maybe we fix the word require. We want it to be strong. We didn't want it to milquetoast it away. But at the same point, I mean, I think there is a concern that, you know, that's why we went with work with, because we don't necessarily. My sense is that this is happening at different levels across the state, and in some areas of the state. There's pretty good, I think we heard testimony to that effect, that there's, you know, pretty good discussion between, you know, people that do resource planning and people that do community development work, in some cases less so. And so that's where the work with came with, but maybe if we change the require part, that might fix some of the concern that I think I'm hearing.
What about, below there's the word support. What about, that indicates a little bit more, if you use the word support instead of require, it indicates a little bit more of an active role on the part of the state to,
yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, to work with, you know, to make materials available and analyses and things like that. With that, I'm just offering that as a suggestion.
I think that's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you combine those two suggestions, is it support local government to work with, or is it support the development of long-term supply and demand projections then we put the rest of the sentence in there. So right now, it's like you're supporting and working together.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it requires support, it's the working together, but it doesn't include, what does it produce?
Maybe that has to be broken into two different bullets, okay? So if you support local government as one, then I don't know whether the word referred to develop local and regional water plans that consider long-term supply and demand projections. Is that a good point for a period right there? Support local government to work, et cetera, until you come to demand projections? And then... Sorry, I'm getting lost in the words here a little bit.
Take your time. Take your time.
Okay.
Ben, I see where Leo's at with this, and it makes total sense that local government should be working with the private and other water. I mean, that's something that they should be doing. And so to say require, in this context, I think that that's a good thing.
And there are two different thoughts. Okay, I think you finally figured that out. One is you're asking people to do something, and then the second thing is you're trying to get them to align with the state approach to water planning, right? Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, and is it worth separating those two different thoughts into two different bullets? One that requires, or however you want to put it, that people who are doing local water planning are in line with the long-term supply and demand planning at the state level, such as it is. I'm not sure. I don't know much about that.
What actually happens?
I'm getting more confused, not less. I guess I'm not sure exactly what is meant by the state long-term plan. Well, I mean, there was a state water plan from the
1999,
but it's not really specific to being able to match up to the kinds of things we're talking about in terms of do you have enough water for XYZ development.
Well, what could the governor actually do?
I like the removal required and the word support. And I tell you what our agency will do is kind of, it goes along one of those first bullets on amending NRS 540 on water conservation plans. And our office would be working with those local governments and those purveyors on the new requirements in their water conservation plans, and we would be working with them on finding consistency in the short-term and long-term planning. So when you say support local government work, I would see our office working with all those entities on the water conservation plans, short-term tiered rates, time of day, et cetera, and also working with them on their long-term plans and short-term plans.
And all this is saying is, as part of them working with you, that they should reach out to their own community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really all that that's about.
Okay, I'm going to try for a suggestion.
Yeah.
If we simply said support development of local and regional water plans that consider long-term supply and demand projections, what doesn't that capture?
Can you say it one more time, John?
Support the development of local and regional water plans that consider long-term supply and demand projections, maybe even add, in order to ensure a sustainable water supply or something along those lines. I think that folds in, if you're supporting a local and regional water plan, you're getting local government, municipal, private sector. You don't have to enumerate each of those interest groups. You can simply say it's a local or regional plan, right? And And just for us, it's a little confusing because it's like local government and municipal and water purveyors. It's like, well, we're all three of those things. It's like, but they're not. It isn't a distinction without a difference in our service territory.
It was a simple thing. It's addition by subtraction, I call it. Anybody need him to say a sentence again? Clear them with their team.
Yeah.
The more I read the sentence, the more confused I get.
So can you read it again, John? I got
might be slightly different each time I said. But support the development of local and regional water plans that consider long-term supply and demand projections to ensure a sustainable water supply. And I think it's something the state can do.
That can do. As Jason. You guys think? Clear? We replace that sentence with
a regional water plan.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'll do that.
Well, I'm just going to make sure there aren't any other things.
I consider long-term supply and demand projections in Uber and back over to ensure.
Got that. Any other things of this section that someone has questions about or things to improve upon?
Okay, so I have John's language, and I can read it back. So maybe I'll do that. So support the development of local and regional water plans that consider long-term supply and demand projections in order to ensure a sustainable water supply. My only question here is, and I certainly like that better than what we wrote, but does it get to at least, yeah, I don't want to overstate what we can and can't do, but perhaps it's inferred that the development of a local or regional plan, what's perhaps missing from that is making sure that it's a robust effort. Does that make sense? Like maybe you don't have, maybe it is sort of more of the how, but part of what I think we were trying to get to here was, you know, make it a robust effort. Like, you know, and that, maybe that's why it was sort of a bit of a tortured here, but that's why there was a bit of listing, which was, you know, make sure you really do the work, not just stamp water plan on something.
Which, Leo, does that imply some cohesiveness across water plans and across regions and localities and that sort of thing?
It could. I mean, like I said, there are certain areas where, you know, the work's being done and it's done well and we don't have to weigh in, but I think there's other parts of the state where, yeah, there's a little bit of a disconnect.
Does it also imply just as the previous sentence did, that there's a kind of a cohesive state policy, like a state water plan, as a framework for it?
Well, like I said, Jason talked about what their approach is. You know, basically what they've come to, and I should let him describe how they do water planning, but it is to support what's being done at the local level, but we want to make sure that what's being done at the local level is robust.
I'm just trying to figure out whether you can have one without the other and what the implications of that are.
I'm not sure what I can add. So we heard public comments about state water plan. We've heard that that they anticipated there might be a bill draft related to a state water plan, and then we had the discussion about how this Division of Water Planning was done away with around the year 2000. Our last state water plan was 1999, and it was at that time that it was a statewide decision at whatever level that the water planning is better done at the local government level.
Okay.
So we went, the pendulum swung from the state water plan to the local government area, and that is how we have been handling these water plans over the past 15 years. And this is, I think, an attempt to have it more comprehensive, and I like your word of cohesive. It'd be nice if all these water plans fit together and when put together, it results in basically a state water plan. So there needs to be that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the point. It's like I like maybe we start with what John came up with, but I if there's a qualifier or two about, you know, that we want it to be a robust effort and perhaps a somewhat cohesive effort, that's kind of what I think I would kind of round this one out.
I'm happy to listen to any suggested language, but we talked about the fact that one size doesn't fit all in a lot of different categories in this. I really think in this context that's true. You know, you referenced the robust efforts. I'm not just tooting our own horn, but we do a 50-year resource plan every year.
I know, but not everybody does that.
But you talk about cohesion. Is that what you want everybody to do? Does every small town in Nevada need a 50-year resource plan, you know, that they revise every year? It's, I think this is going to be very subjective as you move from one part of the state to the other.
Yeah, so now we're switching sides from what we talked about earlier. Right. We want a level of flexibility. Part of the public comment that we got, though, was that not everybody does what you all do, and even though they may not need to do what you do, maybe they should do a little bit more than what they do now.
Some version of that. It's forward-looking planning. That's what you're...
Yeah, that's right. We don't want something that says water plan. And
yeah, it's trying to communicate that, right? That
right.
Asking even the little water suppliers to do forward-looking planning based on information that they might have to help them understand what's going to happen or what's likely to happen with their water resource in the future, not 50 years. So
I can also understand where I'm on both sides of the fences, because I can also... I can see White Pine County Water Plant, and this is going to be our 50-year supply, and it may be 180 degrees from Clark County's water plan, and they're going to be different things. I mean, it'd be nice to say, well, what is Humboldt County going to be doing in the next 50 years? And go to a plan that says this is all the things they're looking at, and you'd have these similar elements in all of these local government plans. So that makes it easy and consistent to review. Now, they will probably, in many cases, or at least some cases, be opposing, but I don't know if that's bad.
But I guess that's where I thought, at least what I had in my head when I was suggesting the language, you're saying you support coming up with local and regional plans. And I assume that means statewide.
Yes.
And saying they need to consider long-term supply and demand projections and ensure that they have a sustainable supply to meet those long-term projections.
Right.
Now, we could probably write it 10 different ways, but the thrust of what I was trying to get at, I think, is what you're saying you want.
Leo, when you say robust, what does that mean to you? What does that look like?
For me, it's like a level of inclusiveness. Like, I just want to make sure that the work being done at the local level takes into account, you know, the kind of people that we talked about, that you know, you go talk to water purveyors, you make sure that the local planning group is kind of in sync with the resource plans. That's kind of what I meant.
It's information, the use of available information too, isn't it? I mean,
sure.
The population projections, records of water use, I suppose, you know, based on acquisition through meter or whatever it is, and then the comparison of the two in terms of what the plans are to build the community out or something like that. I mean, that's robust, if you ask me. It's more attention to the physical as well as the, political aspects.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, I don't want to get too far into the house. I'm very sensitive to that. I just, you know, I just want them to, that's, you asked me what I was getting towards, and ideally what I'm getting towards is that it's a water plan that's just more than aspirational, that it's tied, you know, at least somewhat tied with where the community envisions itself being from a development standpoint over X many years, and that it's done in a way, you know, that's inclusive.
John, could you read that again just one more
time? I've got it.
Okay, good, because I'm kind of curious about what...
And John might be right. I mean, it may be that it's here. So I support the development of local and regional water plans that consider long-term supply and demand projections in order to ensure a sustainable water supply. And that, maybe that is good.
Do you want to consider a little bit stronger? The word consider is not a very strong word.
What account for?
Could strengthen a little bit their life by saying not enough consider it. Account for or
addresses, includes,
boundaries. Because otherwise it could be pretty
intense. Or based on analysis and
include, if we made this include.
I like the word include because it's going to have more than that too.
All right. So what's Bunny's suggestion here on how to?
To change the word consider to include. Does that get it?
It's probably that they have plans right now, but they don't really just bring those things together.
Yeah.
I hate to mess with, you know, a lot of firms and communities, but before it seems still kind of like things that have been decided whether or not to do it. You think of other verbs, you could say support and encourage, which means there's an advocacy as well at the state level at making sure that they, trying to make sure that they do these things. So I'll put that as a friendly amendment. Support and encourage the development of plan that includes.
Well, and I may be about to take us completely off the rails here, but I mean, if you want robust, I mean, a resource plan isn't just about population projections and the amount of water. You could say that consider or that include long-term supply and demand projections, conservation goals, you know, capital infrastructure needs. I mean, you could put all the things in that actually go into a real-life plan of how you're going to, you know, look, take a multi-decadal outlook into ensuring a safe and secure water supply.
Right. You know, I try to recall, and you guys have heard a lot more than I do because I joined you right before the summit in terms of hearing everything. What you were trying to respond to here as a menu is what occurs for people.
Yes.
And it's perhaps over the simplest level, was this a concern on the part of stakeholders that those two things were not matching up, that you have some people doing one and some people doing the other, and they could be out of alignment.
Mm-hmm.
So the main thing was to get that done, to get people to say, realize, you should be planning for X if you only got Y water, or vice versa. If you're going to plan for X, you better figure out how you're going to get Y water. So, I mean, I think at least that much of what the stakeholders were looking for has been captured here by saying plan to include tying those things together. And now we're trying to, I think we've gotten there now, how much further beyond that do we want to go to describe or apply this robustness that we're talking about?
So I got an idea for you.
Yeah.
How about we take a 10-minute break?
I think it's a marvelous idea.
Alright.
And question, we will take a 10-minute break.
Yep.
We're ready to get going again.
It's time to work the background.
Oh, yeah. A hand
for the
trash.
So, where we
left
off was a run on Senate. As a grammarian would say, that in its windings from here to there kind of was a difficult better than I was really getting at. So I think that was very well defined. It's great. Leo, thanks for suggesting it. Give some people a chance to kind of noodle about it, and I think may have a proposal to make about, and maybe some additional clarification about intent along the way of So, did you work something out?
Yeah, I do. But to get to your second part first, I mean, essentially what we're trying to do here is we want good and robust planning to occur. That's happening on, you know, that varies. And we want to encourage that. We want to support that. We also want to make it clear that by doing all of that, that doesn't mean that you do one water plan over 50 years means you're done, and that binds the state engineer's hands. And so I think where we landed was basically to leave the statement as read. Maybe it's a run-on sentence, but then just add a short second line. So what I have is support and encourage the development of local and regional water plans that include long-term supply and demand projections in order to ensure a sustainable water supply. Such plans are not binding on state engineers' decisions.
And I guess I can add a little clarification.
Yeah,
so on one hand here, we're making a recommendation to the governor, and if he cares to support this water plan, which our office, state engineer's office, supports completely, and obviously this whole group does as well. However, I would not want a water plan that came out of a county that says that there is two times the amount of water available to appropriate than what we believe is available to appropriate. And I would not want to be bound by that water plan in making those decisions. So that, in a nutshell, is the issue. So by having that last sentence, I can clear that up.
Okay. Questions or comments about
That.
So it's essentially the sentence we had before we took the break that John had. Seems like it's going to work. And at the same time, you need a piece in there, Jason, that doesn't over-reify these plans to where certainly they're a control of what happens in there.
That's correct.
Okay. Discussion about that proposal for revising this? Could you read it one more time, Neil?
Yeah. Support and encourage the development of local and regional water plans that include long-term supply and demand projections in order to ensure a sustainable water supply, period. Such plans are not binding on state engineers' decisions.
And that would replace the second bullet, right?
That would replace the second bullet.
Okay. Any questions from the forum?
Okay. I guess the only thing I'm thinking is just in terms of, and this is a recommendation about the
right.
Last line sort of reads like it would, like actual statutory language. So in terms of formulating it as a recommendation, is it better to put something on the front end saying what, you know, for example, without affecting the inherent authority of the Nevada State Engineer, comma, support, blah, 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 blah.
To make it one big long sentence.
To truly run it on.
Try to introduce that. You could change the verb tense to the second sentence. But I forget how it says, but would not be. That would imply that it's a recommendation.
Yeah, that's another way to go about it.
I just depends on the language. I think either one of those suggestions support it.
Yeah.
What was the last suggestion?
Well, without, what did you have on the front end instead? Without affecting?
Yeah, without affecting the inherent authority of the Nevada State Engineer's comment.
That works.
You like that better?
I do.
In the world, I think that would be called burying the lead.
All right. So.
Fans are laughing at you. She don't like it.
So, slight change. So now it'll read, without affecting the inherent authority of the state engineer, probably semicolon, support and encourage the development of local and regional water plans that include long-term supply and demand projections in order to ensure sustainable water supply.
I like that.
Anytime you mention the inherent support engineer. We can get that out of the way.
Tend to like one better.
Okay. Any other friendly suggestions? Okay. Any other suggestions regarding the other board in this section? I've quite forgotten this point. Lastly, was that the only one?
That was it.
Okay.
So yeah, if maybe you should make that motion.
I would move to approve the recommendations under number 5, supply augmentation and long-range planning as drafted, with the exception of the new language for the second bullet,
which reads,
which for the last time,
without affecting the inherent authority of the state engineer, support and encourage the development of local and regional water plans that include long-term supply and demand projections in order to ensure a sustainable water supply. That's his motion. Is there a second?
Second
by Jim Barbie. Any other discussion? None. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Motion carries.
Okay. We are on to page 14. Similar to discussion about monitoring. This was another one that you might not have necessarily thought would generate. But again, I go back to the summit. There was so much discussion about the need for education and sharing of information, and it seemed like that was a big emphasis on many stakeholders that just didn't feel like even where information was being developed wasn't always being getting to all the right people. So. This ended up generating its own category, and it's got two recommendations. The first one focuses on federal partners, which I think kind of relates back again somewhat to some of the concerns about the drought monitor and other aspects. And the second one we had a lot of discussion at the last meeting about kind of how to formulate this, and I think this is one where we started getting a lot into the weeds and then finally pulled back and said, we need to state the intent and the objective here. We can't design it right now. So that's the level at which it exists right now. Comments, questions, suggestions, friendly amendments to this section?
The only comment I'll make is actually a good thought that I got when I was talking to the reporters, which is this section is probably the one that brings us closest to the most people. Like a lot of these other ones are, you know, stuff at the government level of various size. I mean, now with this one, information sharing and outreach, this is, many of these are the ones that bring it down to the, you know, to the person on the street, so to speak. And that was pointed out by the reporters, and I actually think it's a good observation, so just share it.
I have a note in mind.
Yes.
Who's going to do this? So is there, it says something about dedicated state staff. A lot of us do some of this at different levels. I know Extension does.
Mm-hmm.
You try. There's the various web pages. Is this a consolidated effort? Is this somebody taking the lead on this?
As I recall, that was the intent that came out of the discussion. We discussed this fact, which was there are a lot of individual agencies and programs doing a lot of good work and getting a lot of messages out there. But what I heard, I thought, was lacking was consistency.
both in terms of when and how it occurred, as well as being able for any Nevada to kind of feel like they're getting the same message all the time in the world of education. It's good to have consistency or else. So that's what was proposed at the last board meeting, was that there be some sort of way of not just having each individual program do its own thing, but that there be a statewide focus that steps back and says, okay, what are we doing as a state to make sure that drought stays top of mind? Now it doesn't identify who. I think that's where it kind of got pulled back from the specificity that would be up to if this recommendation went through as it is. It would obviously be up to the governor's office to decide who and what that would look like.
Okay.
Is that assigning it to an existing agency?
That's right.
Right, Leo?
That's exactly right.
Creating a new something. So it's written, I call it specific vagueness.
So we're leaving that decision to the governor.
Yeah,
that's
perfect.
So that
means that, just to follow on there, I know the word staff is used a couple of different times in that, and I guess that triggers in me just one idea, that it'll be state agency staff, for example. And what you're saying, though, is that I've got that wrong.
No. Well, there's
no need to be wrong.
Right.
I'm sorry.
One is, the second bullet is, we talk about state staff, but the first bullet is much bigger than that.
Okay.
Also, maybe it ties into that. So under financial and technical assistance, the last bullet on the top of page 13, direct appropriate state agencies to identify and prioritize the resources needed to implement those recommendations of the drought forum. So you can also point to to say, okay, we may need additional funding for a half ton of this year.
Right. Are you good, Mark?
I'm good.
Okay.
Oh, just, I do have one other thing.
Yeah.
You know, I pointed this out earlier, and I believe I sent this back to the staff. Is our own National Judicial Studies College at University of Nevada has a water law section. I know we're specific here about New Mexico Water Judges Seminar. I'm not sure why that's there.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's if that's a better option, or whether it's a model option compared with what we have at National Judicial Studies College, or I'm not sure the intent of identifying them specifically.
Best answer I can give you is in talking with Susan Joseph Taylor, our former hearing officer, and it doesn't seem like dividing the waters has really got a lot of traction,
okay,
at least specific to Nevada water law, maybe an overwhelming state water law. And I'll just give you an example. In New Mexico, I was just at this meeting, and they had 12 district court judges. And every one of the district courts in New Mexico, they have a judge that they call the water judge, that he has training in water. So all water cases go before that water judge in those district courts. So I think there's something that could be modeled after that.
Okay. And I think such as the New Mexico Water Judges Seminar holds that as an example rather than as the option, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then I'm fine.
Okay. Just to add one more thing, particularly speaking directly to Leo. It seems to me that the reason I made those comments about who was going to do this was because when I first thought about it, I thought maybe you need a working group, but again, you know, we don't want working groups. And that made me think, geez, the two sub-bullets under the first bullet and then the second bullet itself, those are things that In item 7, the Drought Response Committee is proposed to continue and maybe expand. And I thought those are issues that the Drought Response Committee is likely going to continually visit. And
right.
So somehow, in my mind, it's connected to the work that group is doing. I just thought maybe it doesn't need to formally be connected in this document, but that seems like a logical connection to me.
Well, and I think what we tried to do, and recognizing it, we're going to have to go back to 6, but what we basically tried to do with 7, and because I think you're right, is basically you've got to drop, you know, you're on this existing,
committee, but I think you guys have struggled candidly with exactly what you should do. And so what we tried to do in the last bullet is to say, okay, now that you have the benefit of everything we just talked about, factor that, do exactly what you said. Factor that into how you conduct yourself moving forward.
Yep.
And so, yes, I think that's exactly how the logic went. That, you know, all of these things along the way are standalone to be sure, but as this ongoing group, as this group that exists today and group that will exist tomorrow, you will now be informed by everything we've done.
Right.
And you should be.
Fantastic.
So that was, I think, a major clarification.
Yes.
Okay. So, does it have a...
So I think what we found, it sounds like on this one that it doesn't sound like there's any changes. So I would move to adopt as is by Mr. Barbie. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Doug. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion carries.
All right. Coming to the last one. This occupied quite a bit of our time at the last board meeting, and kept coming up throughout the meeting, as I recall. Obviously, there is definitely energy around these issues. You also see that these are some of the long-term recommendations. So there was an attempt here to really, I think, find some harmless activity around this one. And Leo, do you want to say anything else about the intent and the language that was developed for these recommendations?
Well, I think clearly this is the one that we probably had the least amount of unanimity on last time. And so what we thought might make some sense, given, and Doug's talked about this a lot, is we do have this, it exists today. We do have this drought response committee. It exists. And Jason's on it, and so I've had the benefit of talking to Jason about it. And I think in fairness, and Doug can speak to this as well, and Caleb, because they're on it right now, I think there's been a bit of a struggle with precisely what they do, and I really do believe that the reason why it's last is that this group will do, we've outlined that they can do a number of things to, you know, finish work, but they'll also now have the benefit of everything we just did to factor that into the work that they do moving forward. Like I said, I think they've struggled with where their bounds are. You know, the USDA has already declared a drought. Okay, so what do we do then? Stuff like that. And so part of what this set of recommendations is about is giving that drought committee more refined duties to follow up on. And then, candidly, it also takes the debate that we were having last time about emergency versus drought and says, look, okay, we need a little bit more time to kind of work through those concepts. They're important. They're important. They mean different. They may mean at this point different things to different people. Let's now increase who's in this group so that we can have that level of discussion where people feel like they can take a look at concepts like water emergency from an emergency management standpoint or a water purveyor standpoint, which may mean two different things, and let's see if we can find some commonality in terms of defining terms for emergency and drought and the like. So essentially, this is a really important set of recommendations because it represents an active continuation of work that exists today. It augments a body that exists today, and it gives that group a fair amount of history to rely on and a fair amount of direction to move forward with, some specific tasks, but not, you know, sort of binding their hands. So
that was the balance we're trying to do.
That was it. And so, you know, like I said, admittedly, this one is the one that we probably had the least amount of direction on. So, again, I'm happy to
hear comments or concerns, but that's what we try to do.
Got it. Okay. Discussion.
I think the only thing that I would add to this is a deadline. I think everything in here is perfectly appropriate, but I think if we're having the same conversation a year from now about emergencies and declarations and all of these things, then we've failed to meet the intent of these recommendations. So I would ask the group to consider an additional bullet that directs the committee to provide all recommendations and updates by July 1st of 2016.
The drought committee?
The drought response committee.
Could you repeat the date again? I missed it.
July 1st of 2016.
Right. We had an earlier discussion about whether to be specific about deadlines or not, and actually I raised it during one of the senior committee relevant. I think, unfortunately, some of you may have been out of the room, Caleb. And it was kind of a debate so much, but I think where we landed, where the group landed, was maybe you should summarize just in terms of directing in these recommendations the timeline for the governor's action. And then we still want to consider what Caleb said, but there was some context for what you just said that came earlier in the meeting.
Well, I think the only context is that these are a set of recommendations that, you know, the governor basically gets to sort of decide, and actually I think it was John that kind of made the point. So you're going to recommend you do something, you're going to recommend you add a panel, you're going to recommend that you look at these things, and you're going to recommend that you get it done by these days. Is that, you know, is that treading into what the governor does? That was the discussion.
Right.
The recommendation, for example.
So in that regard, as we went to the rest of them, we kind of dropped the line of putting deadlines on any of them. So at this point, this one would stand out a little bit. The reason is to follow that, at least that philosophy, that it's overstepping perhaps the bounds of the forum, the deadlines on these, there's still a reason why you would say this one is different or why we should consider it for this recommendation.
I would just resist the temptation, which has been discussed, and I think this may be interpreted as the temptation to create another Blue Ribbon Commission to do what we're supposed to do, unless we have some teeth in it. That would be my only, I think that could be perceived as kicking the can, and I would not want to have that perception from this group. I think there's been too much deliberation and too much work that goes into this. I think the governor is asking for specifics from us. I think this is hugely important, and I'm not, I'm very comfortable with where these recommendations came out as far as the drought response committee. The drought response committee can adopt a deadline on its own, recognizing the legislative policy development cycles in our state and so on. So, I mean, I'll go with the group on this. I just think that not having teeth in it is not serving our charge as well as we should.
What does that think?
I think that's a fair point. I'm wondering if there's a different way to get there, Caleb, which is to basically say, you know, like especially when it comes to drought designations, that, you know, ideally, that's done before we have to deal with it again next spring. I wonder if there's more generic, as opposed to saying July 1, which is just sort of picked out. I'm wondering if there's an element of saying, look, there's real need. There's as soon as possible, or there's things that people are relying on you for. I'm wondering if there's a way to deal with it in a more qualitative way, as opposed to saying pick a date.
I think it's this is Caleb Cage again for the record. I think if we're not committed to putting a date in there, and I'll just say for the record, I think that's a mistake. But I think that's implied by addressing NRS, because essentially, in order to be relevant for the next legislation,
and we did talk about that too. There's obvious In order, if you're going to change the statute, we all know that, you know, there's a penalty.
It's going to be the governor's. It's got to be August 1st,
right.
You know, et cetera. So I'm truly not trying to be obstinate here. I'm trying to provide what I think could be beneficial to the groups.
So, Leo, were you suggesting some language to effect would say, you know, the work of this group is important and timely and needs to be completed in time for its introduction in the next legislative session? Is that what you're talking about, more generic language?
Yeah.
There are different products, too, though. There are those, and then updating the current drought response plan. I mean, we did that. We put together a draft when we didn't really know what it should look like.
Well, that's the point.
It's much more clear now.
Exactly.
And I think the committee, at least the existing members, would be very eager to get in and get that done in anticipation of April 1st coming around, when we pretty much know how much water we have, and now we have to start talking about drought again, or you know, whether it's going to continue or not, and that also triggers whether or not the governor is going to be making any drought declarations. So I think there's,
and he's going to be looking for you guys
to get it done. I almost think whatever date we propose is probably going to be, we're going to be thinking of our schedules and how much work this is, and he's probably going to want it sooner than that. So I don't know.
Yeah, I guess going back to your original point, or maybe John does, I'm sure, which is assuming that the governor adopts this or any other recommendation, would it be expected that its adoption by the governor would come with the deadline?
Well, that was sort of
the deadline that he gave before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is what Doug said at the outset. I mean, that's kind of how it's done, is, you know, through the executive order, what he listed, you know, well, I want this by this.
And the adoption of these recommendations by the government probably would come in the form of an executive order like that. Right. So, let's hear from others on the appetite for adding sort of deadline, Mark.
Oh, I wasn't actually going to talk about that.
Let's see if we can wrap up. Any other thoughts on either side about providing or not providing a deadline, either specific or general?
I would, just to be on topic, I would say, to be consistent with some of the other aspects of the report, if we have chosen not to add it in other parts of this report, or because of the perception that we're tying the governor's hands, we're trying to, and I would say it's consistent to do the same thing here, to not add a deadline.
Any other thoughts? Any other members?
I think we're going to get a date.
Yeah.
And it's not as if we don't have a couple of folks sitting at the table that vote for the governor and can talk to the governor and figure out what that date should be when, if he accepts this and expands the committee and directs them to do this, I would expect to have a date in there. So it's probably a distinction on the difference, but I go with it either way.
And to pick up on Mark's point, I think if you do it here, then the question is, why aren't you going to go back to the rest of the report and start doing the same thing? But I'm clear what we're saying, because it's important. This one's really important, but I guess what I hear other people say, yes, it's important enough, but we're not worried that somehow it's going to slip through the crack, not have a deadline. So how do we resolve it? Are you okay with this moving forward?
Yes.
Put that as is? Okay. So, Mark, you had something else you were going to move on to?
Different point. The 2012 report, and I think the 2012 drought strategy and the current one, I think have this, if you look at the flowcharts in 2012, all the information is supposed to, under different scenarios, slows down. All the arrows are one way to the communities. And it seems like what you might want to have on a drought response committee is some way of getting information back from those communities to talk about, you know, current effects, impacts on local communities and on different industries and things like that. Like kind of a subset of what we've done here. So I wonder if the representation should go beyond the water purveyors and the Department of Agriculture and then the climatologists and the other, the current state engineer's office and others, and include, you know, some representation from people who have close contact with community members.
So, I mean, that's a possibility. I can tell you that what, Jason, maybe I'd look to you or Caleb here. What we're striving for is a kind of, sort of the minimum, because the feeling is that group can invite on any given topic whomever they want to hear from. And so, it's two schools of thought. One is that you just have a large group and they get together all the time and with people like you talked about, or the other one is you have a smaller group and you say, okay, at this get-together, we're going to be talking about these kinds of things, and therefore we want to invite X, Y, and Z. So, I'm not, I guess it would be fair to say that we landed on the smaller group with the concept of being able to invite people, but I'm not completely married to that. If people think just having a much larger group, then you get into just as hard to get people to show up and things like that. So anyway, that was the thinking. I don't know, Kel, if you see it the same or different, or how you see it.
Yeah, I you and I talked about this, and that it really is. It comes down to the philosophy on doing that. We had Governor Sandoval's WGA effort where he listened to all the western states about their concerns and obstacles, etc., and then we broke that down to the state level. We're now the process we just went through to listen to industry, and then having this drought response committee is even a smaller version of, you have this core group, and then you can talk to the different industry. We can bring in people from the cattlemen, or we can, bring in people from the cattlemen. So to me, it's kind of consistent with this process that we've been going through and that I think has worked, but if people would like to have a bigger group, I think, I know I'm open to that if people think that would work better.
It could come out of the review as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would hope that kind of the goals and the drought response plan, for example, will be significantly different than it is now, that it's going to be much more clear based on the stuff that we heard and that we talked about in through this whole process. So as part of reviewing that document and figuring out what exactly it is we need to be doing in order to make recommendations to the governor and why we would make those recommendations, that perhaps we need another member or two of the group, and what those groups should represent, what are the holes that we have.
So one of the things one of the things that makes me uncomfortable about the specificity of the membership, and this is that the membership's specific at this point, and the overall charge hasn't been well enough defined for me to have confidence that while these are really great people, including you, that's the entire team needed for, that the team's complete at that point. I mean, what you're saying is maybe that's one of the first charges of the committee, is to figure out what the team ought to look like. Is that right?
I think the first charge is to look at the document that was approved in 2012.
Okay.
And it was largely based on reaching out to groups that represented different geographic areas of the state and asking them, what are you seeing? Whether that was, it was much more of an operational kind of response to this perception of what the conditions are out there, and finding out what they're really like.
Yeah,
discussion. So I'm often asked as a facilitator, how big of a group is too big to work? And there's no answer to that question, right? There's a trade-off between inclusion and deliberative efficiency. Anytime you do that, right? And so I'm going to suggest that maybe what you could do is add a fifth bullet that captures this, that basically says one of the things that the drought response committee will do after it better understands how the chance to discuss its charge, as you say, and where it's going, is to consider the addition of additional
other members.
But be that the charge of who's going forward, having expanded it to already, but take a look at it now and just say, hey, we added this to be redone. I think you can handle that as a fifth sub-bullet as one of their charges for that group, part of their reevaluation. That make sense?
I like
rather than trying to come up with a list right now.
Well, but I guess I like the idea of a fifth bullet, but I would characterize it more in terms of allowing the committee to invite, you know, experts, local activists, whomever, as necessary, because I think, you know, you have just these four tasks. You might have different people you need to complete each one of those, you know, finishing the plan, you know, updating the 2012 plan that I was referring to. You might need to add to these six, you know, A, B, and C, but to figure out the implications of suspending non-public health water quality standards, you probably need X, Y, and Z, not A, B, and C. So I think you don't want to try for the group that can solve each one of these problems or, you know, complete each one of these tasks. You want to say, you got to have these six, but on a case-by-case basis, a task-by-task basis, you can add in who you need.
So I like that suggestion with one little amendment to it, which is just this, is that I guess the one thing I'm uncomfortable with is you got a set membership here. These water surveyors, Department of Agriculture, state climatologists, Department of Natural Resources, and then Department of Emergency Management. And, if we're setting in stone what the membership looks like, then, you know, I'm not so sure that that's a complete team. If another bullet says invite experts and expand the committee as needed. Okay.
Yeah.
That would do it.
Rather than either or,
that's right. That's right.
It recognizes that there is this desire and need to bring people on a case-by-case basis, but leave the door open if in their infinite wisdom sometime in the future they do need to add somebody to be there at all the meetings and participate actively, that they at least consider that.
That gives the committee flexibility to do that rather than, you know, I mean, I know this is not the Constitution, but it's a...
So add in a bullet that reflects both those things. Does that make sense?
Yeah, what do we want it to say?
Yeah, good question. What did you say, John?
I hope that's what
you said. You don't write them down. It's kind of fun.
Invite experts and have the option to add additional members as needed. Something like that.
The committee shall invite experts and consider what?
Or have the option to add additional numbers as needed?
Adding.
Or add additional numbers.
Consider additional numbers as needed. The committee shall invite experts and consider additional members as needed.
Adding additional members?
At the appointment of the chair, do we want to give them an ability to do that?
Well,
it's his committee now, right?
It is.
So it's his committee. I mean, it's the governor put you on it and him and... So again, this is a recommendation to augment it by three. So,
shall recommend to the governor new membership.
And shall recommend to the governor, right. And consider recommendations
to the governor.
Even if they consider it, it shall make recommendations.
Shall invite experts and make recommendations to the governor for adding additional members as needed.
So let's read that out loud and see how it sounds.
Go ahead. I'm not proposing to modify it.
Yeah, no.
Go ahead. Let me read it all the way through.
The committee shall invite experts and make recommendations to the governor for adding additional members as needed.
I like it. I have a question after that.
All right, what's your question, sir?
One of the many issues that we were always concerned about on that committee was whether or not we were subject to the open meeting law, and at some point we started to have a representative from the Attorney General's office participate in the meeting. This is not a working group. This is a committee that's defined. Do you see this as a committee that then is subject to open meeting law?
I think that's something we're going to have to bring back to the Attorney General's office.
I think we'd have to take a look at the structure and the organization of the committee. And so right now I'm not prepared to answer one way or the other, but I think that's something that would need to be evaluated and considered.
Okay. Because I think it's really important for us. Because we just really didn't know. We were in this case, we're going to be asked to review and make changes to existing documents that make recommendations to the governor about declaring droughts and things like that.
I can agree with your scope or charge and change throughout this. It deserves a fresh look.
I'm not the one that would know.
I think that's appropriate. I think it's never a bad idea to revisit the question and reevaluate whether or not the structure and intent the ordinance of that group is changed in a manner in which it then falls under the provisions of the open meeting law.
Okay. Right. Question asked. Any other thoughts on this section? Besides the essential, what became the addition of a bullet, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What we got?
Yep.
Mutual approval.
Fine.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
So, Leo, is there anything else related to finalization or adoption or is it to the governor that we need to discuss or resolve?
Not in my knowledge.
Anything you can think of?
I mean, I think if you want to go ahead and do one final vote as to the inclusion of the totality, of the report with all the, the subsections.
Move the report in total.
And move for it.
Mm-hmm. For it to be finalized in a manner.
All right. So let's do that. Why don't you make it.
Move for the report to be accepted in total and forwarded to the governor.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. So let's take some time here. So any further discussion here? Everyone good?
I would just like to congratulate you on a lot of really hard work and to get to this point. And when I sit in the summit, I couldn't imagine what this would look like. for it to take this much substance to form and really more specificity, and I know we said it isn't, but really there's a lot of specifics in here. And in terms of capturing certainly what we've heard from so many different stakeholders and trying to find that common ground, I just think you're be congratulated. So.
Appreciate that. And again, thanks to Lewis Nunn. Thanks to all of you. It really been a pleasure. All right. Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? Motion carries. All right.
I would just also point out we lost our connection with Las Vegas.
Well, let's try to get them back, and in the meantime, should we wait till they're back before we do public comment?
I think we should.
All right. Well, can we try to get them back?
I'll
you want me to call Jimmy?
I thought that's what he was doing, yeah. Well, I'll see. Hi, Jane. Do you want to provide a public comment now?
No, I don't.
All right. All right. So we are on agenda item A, which is public comment. I will make note that Andrea. Yeah. Next step was to follow. Okay, that's what I presume that last vote was. So in terms of public comment, we do have one. I'm not gonna read it on the record. It's been presented to all of you from this filter with copy, hard copy, and a electronic copy, and it will be part of the record. With that, is there any other public comment? So go Ray, and then Andy. Who else?
John Kamunker.
Yeah.
I think most of you know me. I'm Ray Baker. I'm with the Nevada Manufacturers Association. But this is more from a personal standpoint than the trade association standpoint. You've got that one section in there on the public engagement thing. And quite frankly, at this stage of the game, if I take a look at what you've done at this stage of the game, this is going to touch 50,000 people out of our 3 million folks roughly that we've got in the state. So somehow you've got to go figure out how to get a message that reaches out and touches, not just touches with information, but what you're really asking for to make a difference is you've got to ask for those people to engage. Sam caught a note from me not too long ago. I watched somebody dump out a couple of ice in a fast food place. When you start figuring out the number of calories involved in dumping out that cup full of ice, and, you know, they started off with a 64-ounce thing, and they dumped it down to about 10 ounces, and then they locked it into the same thing with 3 more cups, and they said, there is a connection between water and energy, and by the way, that just wastes a hell of a lot of both. And to get the message out to John Q somehow in a manage that says, here's the things that you can do in your personal life, and here's the things that you can observe that people do that you can say, you know, what are you doing? Because especially dumping out ice, it takes really good fresh water that's very expensive water when you add the energy component, dumps it straight into the sewer. I can think of stupider things we can do, but not too many. And so there's things like that somehow, as you create that public message, has got to be something that actually gets down and touches things. The other comment that I'll make, and I made this during the forum, energy and water are, in this state in particular, but probably in every state, are absolutely 100% directly connected. And at this point, if I would give any criticism to the document, it's a little light on the connection between energy and water. And I think it's somehow, I don't know how you fix that. You've got places in here where you can fix that, but if you get down to the details of where you're going and what you're going to do, somehow that connection should be made. I mean, if you think about it, we've got steam-fired power plants in this state that have absolutely no solar thermal preheaters on the water. That's true. In this state with our solar loads, that's pretty good. we get it from scratch. There's a lot of calories. The other thing that Jason and I talked about this outside, if you go through and you start putting the water meters on every house, you have to take a serious look at how you're going to do that, because if you're going to send somebody around to read the water meter, your cost will outrun the value. If you're going to do self-reporting, you've got to make it in some kind of a reasonable fashion to do that. If we go through this exercise and we go with manual meters, which are going to cost that domestic user $100 to put in a manual meter this day, okay? And then 3 years down the line, we all of a sudden decide we're going to go to smart meters. If you think all hell broke loose with smart meters on the power company, you haven't seen anything yet, because that will be insane. Because that will take that meter that he's already invested $100 or so and make it worthless and probably jump it to $400. So, it's going to be a huge task on Jason and his predecessors as to how you do that monitoring or putting a water meter on everything. But it really, really needs to be thought out, done carefully. Some places, you know, there's a ranch that's, or a residence that's out in, you know, 30 miles north of Winnemucca, and the closest next house is 10 miles away. How is that worth the effort? I don't know how you get to those things. I don't know how you get the overall policy fixed and still instill the common sense. And you've got to do that with this, because you're impacting 3 million folks. As I said, 2.9 million of those people won't have a clue until you knock on their door. I think those are the only towns. Everything you're doing makes sense, but you still got to get it down to the point where it engages with the people and gives them something that they tangible, that they can do the same thing. Because that's when it really starts to engage. That's where the water is used. The mom has to go tell the kid, you know, I'm sorry, you're flushing the toilet is a really good exercise, you now learn to do that, but 10 times in the last hour is probably excessive, and we're going to have to work on that kind of thing. And does that happen? It happens in every household. So, those are the comments that I've made. I think it's a great step in the right direction. It's a long, long way from being where we need to really get John Q. engaged to the point where we really start saving water. And we've got other strange issues that are coming out here. We haven't yet really talked about engaging government. We just made an investment in tax incentives and everything else to do the lithium plant out here. And that's going to use a lot of water. Yeah, it's going to be recycled water. But we still have water that goes to the salad dressing that we ship every day. We still have water that goes into ocean spray that we ship every day. We still have water that goes into hay that we ship all over the world. So there's a secondary issue that comes down from a governor's standpoint is to, at some point in time, as we go through economic development and expand the state, where do we get to the point where we have the policy that says there's a certain level of water usage that probably doesn't fit in this desert state? And I don't think we've answered that question yet as a state. So, with that, I'll take any questions, and thank you for the time.
Any questions for Ray? Thanks. Kevin?
You want to start?
Not really.
Okay.
I have a slight advantage, if nothing else. Hi, I'm Abby Johnson with Great Basin Water Network. I want to thank you for all your hard work and thoughtful time that you've put into this process. I know it's been a long haul for you and, frankly, for the public that have tried to follow along during the months of meetings. It's unusual that I ever agree with Ray Gaten, but I have to say I'm tortured when I'm at Starbucks and I got a cold drink and I'm done and I just don't want to put it in the garbage can. So there's some trees around Starbucks that are unusually watered. actually, I had bug meat, and I wish there was a way to standardize that so that there was a message a fast food message. Done with your drink? Here, put the ice here, because it's going to the landfill, I guess, or draining out in garbage trucks or something. I'm glad that Dr. Boyle mentioned the open meeting law, because that's really important. And even a meeting like this, which is open but not very open, it's better than closed. I'll get to that point in a minute. But also what Ray Bacon said about messaging, you know, if you have quarterly reporting, that's four times a year that people are going to be hearing about these messages. I think some of the climate folks are already doing a pretty good job of ongoing communication. But that's a real opportunity. So if you build in more reporting and you connect it to more effective public participation and public engagement through your public information officers and a network of public communication, you're just getting the message out there more often. It's an opportunity that you're going to miss if you sort of just go to the, I don't mean you, but if it happens that it's going to the annual report, which is sort of a check off the box, fill in the blank, we got it done. So I think the open meeting law is actually your friend. And I think having committees that are slightly more inclusive, albeit slightly more cumbersome, is to your advantage, because there's more people in the room, there's more people around the table. Hopefully there's some rules. I think that this idea of sunwa, tamwa, good, we've got the water authorities included. Well, you just left out all of our own that. So that's an important thing to consider. The other thing I wanted to close with is just to tell you how frustrating it is to come to an open meeting and realize that the document that's being discussed, that everybody around the table seems to know about and has reviewed, was not available in advance. That thing that was posted that had the black and red and the possible suggestions was posted, but the draft report wasn't. So today we've come to a meeting, we watched you talk about a draft report, we had no input to it, you finalized it, and now it's time for public comment. So I think that there's a long way to go when we're talking about public involvement and public engagement to actually make it meaningful. You have people in this room with a lot of knowledge and people who could be helping in a constructive way. And I think it was a lost opportunity not to at least have the document published so that we could have brought our marked up copy and maybe made public comment before the meeting began so that you could have considered our thoughts during the meeting. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Any questions for Abby? I guess I'll just simply say that I think we'll own the last part. I mean, you know, we've tried to make it available as soon as we could, but I will own that. As far as the public engagement, I really do look at that both Abby and Ray talked about, and the recommendation about messaging and the like. I mean, that's wide open, and I think allows for plenty of creativity in whatever areas are deemed appropriate. So I guess I'm hopeful that that item 6 is reaching out and does give the ability to reach out to the community as a whole. Is there anything else? Any other public comment? Nope. Well, I guess no process is perfect, and I don't claim that this one is, but again, I want to reiterate what I said at the outset, that for the folks around the table and the folks in the audience and the folks that have taken part in all of these six meetings. I do think it's a good product. I do think it's helpful, and yeah, my sincere thanks.
I would just make a comment. Thank you, Leo, for your leadership on this and your staff and their time and dedication to the process over the last several months. It's appreciated knowledge for sure.
I thank you.
Thank you.
And everybody else's staff, your staff. There's lots of people who helped make this happen. All right, folks.
Video conference.
Video conference. All right, folks. Thanks. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.